Even though we're celebrating the Immaculate Conception, we're hearing about the Annunciation in the beginning of Luke's Gospel tonight. And Mary, at the message of an angel, asks one question: how can this be? And Gabriel has an answer: nothing is impossible for God. That's his answer for Mary questioning how she can become a virgin mother. We might ask, how is it that someone can be conceived without sin, as Mary was in the womb of her mother, St. Anne? And I think Gabriel would give us the same answer. Nothing is impossible for God. If he can create everything out of nothing, if he can raise his son and us from the dead, then surely it's according to his plan, his will, his word, and he desires it. He desired that Mary of all women would be chosen to become the first tabernacle, the first monstrance, something pure and stainless and holy, immaculate, where he might place the flesh of his only begotten son. This feast, coming in the Advent season, reminds us that Christmas didn't happen by accident, and it wasn't some idea that came to God in the 11th hour as to how he might save us and set us free. God was planning long before the birth of Jesus, long before the Annunciation, long before the Immaculate Conception, setting in motion a chain of events by which the people in darkness would see a great light who is the Christ. We might argue that God set in motion that plan at the very moment that Adam and Eve were walking out of Eden and the gate closed behind them. We hear about that event in the first reading this evening from Genesis chapter 3. We find them in the garden. They are hiding in shame. They realize their nakedness, something that was beautiful in the image and likeness of God. Now they're embarrassed. But what they fail to realize is that if they truly believe that God is God, then he knows everything and he is everywhere. And so trying to hide from him is a fool's errand. He knows where they are. He knows what they've done. But he wants to hear what explanation they might give for their actions. And he starts with Adam. Adam, why did you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? She made me do it. Threw her under the bus immediately. But then he wants, of course, to give Eve a chance to defend herself. Eve, why did you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? The serpent tricked me into it. In other words, the devil made me do it. What we saw in that moment is, with the first sin come the first excuses. People blaming something or somebody else for their behavior. And it's been happening ever since. That was Adam and Eve ruining everything for everyone, down to us and for all humanity who will come after us. I would venture to say that it was at that moment that God was already planning that where sin began at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, one day it would be corrected and conquered on the tree of the cross. Where Adam and Eve made so many poor choices, God was already planning that a new Adam, born of a new Eve, would one day come to right their wrongs. Some people think the punishment is pretty harsh, to take away their immortality and kick them out of the garden. But God was trying to remove them from temptation. He understood that the longer they were in that garden, the more likely they'd keep going back to that tree, keep getting their hand caught in the cookie jar. And the longer they lived, the longer they would be subject to that temptation. But if God was already planning that he would send his son as a savior for them and for all their progeny, then it's not necessarily so much of a punishment to get them out of the garden. It's an act of God's severe mercy. So great is his love for them and for us that he will go to great lengths in order that we might be forgiven, in order that we might be redeemed. And he goes to that greatest length in planning out this greatest story ever told, the story of our salvation, that long advent that leads up to the coming of the Christ. And tonight we celebrate Mary's pivotal role in that story. And yet she didn't receive a memo. Her parents didn't get papers upon her birth that said, by the way, your child was conceived without sin, and one day when she's 14, an angel's going to come to her and say something to her that no one's ever been told before. They just trusted in the Lord. And Mary, because she was prepared to be receptive to what the angel presented to her, didn't say no. She didn't say no. Yes, she asked, how can this be? But then she trusts the angel, and in doing so, she trusts in the word of God, and she said, let it be done to me according to your word. And it is in that phrase where Mary becomes the model of the church. Mary is the model of Christians, not necessarily Jesus. Yes, we want to be like Jesus, but Mary shows us how. Because she was totally devoted to God the Father, and then from the Annunciation and henceforth, she was totally devoted to God the Son. In her humility, in her holiness, in her trust, in her openness, in her willingness to accept God's will, whatever it was requiring of her, That's why Mary is the model of Christians. And it was quite an offer and quite a challenge, because Gabriel was telling Mary, in the small town of Nazareth, where everybody knows everybody and everybody knows everyone else's business, you're going to start walking around and people are going to know that you're pregnant, but they're also going to know that you and Joseph aren't together yet. Mary understood all of this, and she understood that people were going to think that she was pregnant out of wedlock, and that, of course, would be akin to adultery. And at that time, the penalty was to stone that woman to death. And so Mary was already accepting a great risk in saying yes to God's plan. So great was her love for God, so great was her love for God's son, that she was willing to accept that stigma, willing to accept that price, because she, like God, would do whatever it takes in order that people might be saved through him and through the fruit of her womb. And so today we celebrate with Catholic Christians all over the planet and all throughout these 20 Christian centuries that God was making great preparations for that first Christmas, and he encourages us to do the same. As he put so much preparation to the first coming of Christ, he wants us to try harder to prepare for Christ's return. And we could do that well and faithfully by following Mary's example of complete trust in God's word and in God's will, that she who is sinless might help us to sin less as we await the coming of the Lord.